Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 7. As you can see, this is the first of a new series, Thoughts on Romans. I emphasize thoughts. As you know, the letter to the Romans demands far more detailed preaching than I'm going to give in this brief overview. But perhaps there might be some profit in taking a glance at the letter. But I would urge you, of course, to read it more thoroughly and explore it in more detail, far greater detail, than I'm going to bring out in these short addresses. The first 7 verses then, Romans chapter 1. Well, Paul tells the Romans what they can expect from this letter. And following in his train, I can say that I'm going to specify out in this short discourse what you can expect in this series. I want to stick to what the apostle says here. What does he say? He opens up by stamping his authority on the letter. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. These are not throwaway words. He is claiming apostolic authority for what he writes here. And that contains within it all the authority we need. This is scripture. This is truth. It's not our job to insert glosses into this and explain away Paul's meaning and fit it into our systems, our creeds, and our confessions. Paul is setting out the truth. Our confessions, our systematic theologies, have to bow and submit and break if they don't conform to what Paul says. He is a servant of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. He is called to be an apostle. He is set apart by God for the gospel of God. This is apostolic authority. I'm not saying my words are apostolic authority. And if you find that I gloss him, if I gloss the apostle, if I water him down, if I add to him and change his views and his argument and bring my views, then be a Berean and reject what I do and what I say and take Paul. But if you find Paul is setting things out which contradict your confessions and your doctrines that you've had up to now, your systems, then, my friend, your system must break and buckle under Christ in the gospel. Of course, make sure it is apostolic. Don't just take my word for it, of course. Check it against the other scriptures and see. That's what the Bereans did. Now he immediately jumps straight in. Verse 1, the gospel of God. Verse 2, the gospel. Look at that, tautology, the modern editors would say. No, I want the Romans to know that I'm going to write the gospel. And I'm going to preach the gospel as I preach through this series in Romans. Why? Because that's what Romans is about. The gospel. This idea about the simple gospel. Well, of course it is simple. But this idea that it's just 3 steps or four things God wants you to know is just ridiculous. The whole counsel of God is tied up in this, what we call the gospel, the good news. He tells us that it's the gospel which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He will stress this point. It's not something, as it were, coming out of the ether. God has set it out, spoken to us in various ways down the ages, and through the law and the prophets, he has been saying what? The Christ is coming. The gospel is coming. You will find the gospel in the Old Testament in advance. Galatians 3, well, you've got it here, Romans 1, you get it in Romans 16, you get it in Luke 1, about verse 70, but Zacharias' song and so on. You'll get it everywhere through the scriptures. Christ is in all the scriptures. The gospel is to be found in all the scriptures. Through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, the gospel he promised regarding his son. And here is another keynote. Romans is apostolic. Romans is apostolic on the gospel. And the gospel now is in accordance with what has already been promised by God in the Old Covenant. But now, the gospel is supremely Christ. Regarding his son, the gospel, which is spoken by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his Son, Christ is all. Christ is the gospel. Christ is God, of course, and Christ is man, who, as to his human nature, man, incarnate, God incarnate. Immediately that tells us he is God. Paul would say, well now, according to my human nature, I've only got one nature, I'm only a human. Christ had two natures. He is the only person who has ever had two natures. I do not believe in the two natures for man. Man has only one nature, he's human. Converted or unconverted. Flesh and spirit, yes, but one nature, man. But Christ had human nature. And he was, of course, in his human nature, a descendant of David. Here we have it, Mary, and nominally Joseph. But who through the Spirit of holiness, I believe that to be the Holy Spirit, was declared with power to be the Son of God. God himself, man. God-man, man-God. Now, the Muslims will say, well, I don't understand that, I can't understand that, so that's wrong. Well, if you reject everything you can't understand, it's revelation, it's apostolic, it's scriptural. Jehovah's Witnesses, they got it's obviously illogical and all that sort of thing. I don't talk about logic, I'm talking the gospel. This is the apostolic teaching. He is, according to his human nature, and according to his divine nature, he is declared to be the descendant of David, a man, a real man without sin. That's why we have the virgin birth, of course. But declared by the resurrection from the dead, Christ raised from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the gospel, my friend. Preacher, are you preaching the gospel? Do you preach Jesus Christ, or do you preach, what do you preach? Law, rites, ceremonies, sacraments, what do you preach? Confessions of faith? Preach Christ in the scriptures. For Christ is the gospel. Verse 5, through him and for his name's sake, through Christ himself, by his Spirit, and for the glory of Christ, for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship. He's speaking of himself here. God has saved me, and he's called me to be an apostle. And my job is to call people, my task is, my privilege, to preach the gospel, to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Now, this is apostolic. But, of course, in a lesser sense, it comes down to every believer. For all of us are in this world to preach the gospel to every creature. To go into all the world and preach the gospel wherever we can. By our lives and by our lips. We're all preachers. This is apostolic, and he's setting out the gospel with authority in the Romans. This letter. But in a lesser sense, I'm trying to do it now. I'm trying to do it in my books. And you too, my brother and sister, you are privileged. You've been called by grace. You're a brother and sister in Christ, yes. And you've received not apostleship, but you've received the commission to be Christ's witnesses. And our ministry is to call people from among all the Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, of course. But he stresses Gentiles. He's going to stress this in this letter. Because you mustn't think it's just reserved for the Jews like it was in the Old Covenant. No, it's for all the nations now. And what is the gospel? To call them to faith. And that leads on to the obedience. Not the obedience that produces faith. We're not calling them to works and then faith. We're calling them to faith, to trust Christ, turning from their sins, of course. There's repentance there, but turning from their sins, submitting to Christ, trusting Christ, believing Christ, and then obeying Christ. That's what we're calling for. I could stress all these things. How important this is today. We're not here to entertain men. I'm not here to provide food for men. I'm not here, this is not my business, to provide clinics for men and social therapy and social counseling and all the other things that go on today. I'm not here to entertain them. I want to see sinners saved. Is there an unbeliever listening to me? I pull no wool over your eyes. I've got nothing up my sleeve. My ministry, my service to you now, my aim now in saying this is that you will hear this and can be convicted of your sins and converted to Christ. Christ is the gospel. You need to know Christ. I know you might be religious. I know you might be interested in sermons. You might read religious books. You might go to church or chapel. You might be a preacher. But are you in Christ? Have you got Christ? Do you know Christ as your Savior and Lord? Are you obedient to him because you trust him? Not are you trying to earn your salvation and then trust him. No, no. Are you giving up your works trusting Christ and then living for Christ in submission to his word. That's my business, to bring you out of sin, bring you out of Satan's realm, out of darkness. I can't do it, but I'm preaching this short discourse to bring you, if I can, to have some sense of your sin and to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. And to edify you as children of God, if you are there, and to stir you and to encourage you to go on preaching Christ. And you also, he says to the Romans, are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Can you see the theme through here? Gospel, gospel, gospel. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. To all that are in Rome, who are loved by God and called to be saints, it's all here again. Loved by God from everlasting, called by grace, by the Spirit of God, effectually to trust Christ, made into saints, from sinners into saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he takes his own medicine straight away. I'm going to bring to you the gospel, he says. And what's that? What is the gospel? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Man, God, declared to be the Son of God, shown to be man, raised from the dead. Of course, he died, of course. He died for sinners. But he raised from the dead in power and glory. And now we preach the gospel. We set out the gospel. And what is that gospel? Nothing else but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's how he starts his letter to the Romans. Straight in with it. It's the gospel. There'll be just another paragraph or two before we get plunging into the theme of the gospel. But that's what this letter is about. Would you know what the gospel is? Then read and be mastered by this letter. Absorb it as fully as you can. For here is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel is Christ. And it is for all the nations. For Jew, Gentile, for Muslim, for Jehovah's Witnesses, for papists, for whoever they might be, atheist, all of you need to hear that Jesus Christ alone is Savior. Turn from Islam, turn from Muhammad, turn from the Pope, turn from councils and cardinals and priests, turn from sacraments, turn from the watchtower, turn from these atheistical ideas, and turn to Christ, for Christ is the gospel. That's how Paul starts. Let me jump right to the end of the letter now and show you how he finishes. Remember, this letter is about the gospel. I start, he said, with the gospel, Jesus Christ. Now, how does he finish? Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. This man begins and ends his letter in exactly the same tone. It's all here, the prophetic writings and so on, leading to the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus Christ. And it's for all nations, all men and women everywhere. Jesus Christ is the gospel.